Moncrief on News Talk.
Shortly, the Oireachtas will be considering legislation to establish a register of domestic violence offenders. It's been called Jenny's Law after Jennifer Poole, who was murdered by her former partner in 2021. So how will it work and how should it work? Lisa Ann Wilkinson is a barrister and founder of the Right to Transparency campaign. Lisa Ann, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Are there a specific set of offences that justify inclusion on this list?
So the legislation as it stands at the moment has a series of, I think it's nine offences, and they're considered serious offences from all the way from murder, manslaughter, rape under sexual assault, and then offences such as stalking, harassment, endangerment, false imprisonment, and then the coercive control legislation underneath the 2019 Act are currently the list of offences which are considered serious domestic violence offences.
Okay, from your point of view, are there any offences that might have been viewed as serious in law, yet are still serious, that perhaps could merit inclusion on that list?
So what we find is that the specific domestic violence orders of a protection order, safety order and barring orders, they're often breached. And breaching those orders is a criminal offence. So, for instance, you can have somebody with a safety order which demands that the perpetrator doesn't stalk them, harass them, beset them, etc. And they can do that multiple times, you know, 20, 30 times. Each one of those breaches is a criminal offence, but they're not included. And to be honest, those breaches of orders can make someone's life utterly unlivable and horrendous. So them being omitted, I understand they don't seem so serious, but actually the impact of them over a series of time can be absolutely awful for the victims.
Mm. Now, and also on the subject of the period of time, it seems to be the case at the moment, at least, that after 3 years, the person who's on this register can apply to be taken off it.
That's correct. Yeah. So that's at the judge's discretion. But what we find is when women have escaped relationships, the post-separation abuse, especially litigation abuse, can go on for, you know, 10, 15 years until the last child is 18. It would normally continue to. So that 3 years is really quite a short period of time in the greater scheme of things. Also, as well, sometimes it takes a long time for the charge to get to the DPP and then for it actually to be prosecuted. You know, so it seems quite a short time frame.
Mm. This is all at the discretion of a judge. Even to be put on the register seems to be at the discretion of a judge.
That's correct, yes. So, and also the victim as well also has to agree to that. And we think that's too much of an onus on the onus on the victim is too great. They could already be and still remain at risk if they decide not to put their name onto the register. So it really puts too much of a burden, we feel, on the victim in order to state whether or not that person goes on the register. And then also judges, sometimes what they can do is they can refuse to even create a domestic violence charge if they think it might spoil someone's career, like a guard or a solicitor or someone else. So, you know, it's having that discretion as well seems to be weakening the legislation somewhat.
Yeah. And are there in the legislation, the proposed legislation as it is now, Is there a set of criteria whereby one can apply to be taken off the register?
It doesn't seem to be at the moment. It just says they can apply after three. Well, if they want to apply before the 3 years, they can apply before the 3 years. It's not really clear whether it automatically they come off after 3 years or whether they can apply within 3 years. So we definitely need clarification on that.
Mm. Now, also as well, the inclusion on the register, if a judge decides to do it, is that after they've been convicted?
That's correct.
Or do you have to wait until the appeal process is exhausted?
you would have to wait until they've if they've been convicted, and then they only have a certain amount of time to appeal it anyway. But yeah, no, a conviction would have to stand in order for to take the list. So if someone's charged of a very serious offence, and this is, you know, another issue with I can't remember the name of the law, but if they're charged with a serious offence, it could be a couple of years before that charge comes before the courts as well. So that period also leaves women vulnerable.
Yeah. Just going back to what you said about the woman who's been, it's usually a woman, has been subjected to domestic violence. It seems fair, doesn't it, that they should be consulted on whether that name will appear on the list or not?
In some respects, it does, yes, because, you know, there's a huge amount of shame and privacy that people demand around this. But if we think about what we're actually trying to do, we're trying to protect victims further down the line from meeting the same grooming man, abusive man. Let's say it is gendered issues. So, you know, it's the rest of us as well that need to be protected from them. So, and again, they may feel very vulnerable having to make that choice of having the name put on the list. Whereas if it was an automatic thing, then we feel it will protect more women.
Mm. Those women might feel that if the name was automatically added on, that might make them in turn identifiable.
It might do, yes. And that's, you know, that's the whole premise around family law, is that it might make them identifiable, yes. Which, I mean, it is an issue, but then we have to balance, I suppose, between their privacy and the rights to safety of the other women.
Mm-hmm. And the register itself, who would have access to it?
It seems to be at the moment that it's going to be listed on the court service. So again, it's not clear whether you have to go to the Gardaí to access that, or whether you may have to make an application to access that. So again, we need more information as to where it's going to be listed.
Yeah. So, but it's not, it wouldn't be the case that you could enter a relationship with somebody and be able to look up to see if they had any previous convictions or not.
It doesn't appear to be. You would probably have to make an application for it.
Yeah, which most people normally wouldn't do. So what agencies would have access to what that could be helpful?
I suppose, well, I'm looking at the legislation, or the draft legislation here. It seems like it's a request into An Garda Síochána to see whether or not the person you suspect or you're in a relationship with is raising red flags at that time. So again, it's, you know, it's something that's not readily accessible, or it seems to be. It's unclear at the moment.
Yeah. That seems to imply, though, you'd perhaps already have had to experience some degree of domestic abuse, and then you go to the guards and then they look it up.
Or you start seeing the red flags that, luckily, with things like, you know, Me Too Interview from Women's Aid, etc., are starting to highlight, and more people are becoming aware of coercive, controlling, grooming behaviours. So it might be something that they're alert to early on, hopefully, in the relationship, and then they can go and consider whether or not that is actually a perpetrator they're with.
Does the in-camera rule in family courts complicate this a bit?
It does, yes. So while it's still in place, there's no transparency at all. I mean, we're campaigning to have the in-camera rule abolished, not so much that parties can be identified, but the actual transparency of the proceedings and the judgments are available. So, you know, even if the in-camera rule is lifted, we still think that people's anonymity should be protected, especially for the children. But there's then that balance between someone who's actually convicted of a crime. It's like, you know, if someone's convicted of robbery, their name would be published. Yeah. And it's the same we feel with domestic violence. If someone's committed a crime, their name should be published.
Lisa Ann, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Lisa Ann Wilkinson. She's a barrister and also a co-founder of the Right to Transparency campaign. One texter says, any help is welcome, but a lot of victims miss red flags as it's silent and coercive, as it may already be too late before you think to ask. Though I suppose, as Lisa Ann was saying there, people are perhaps a bit more aware of these things. Hopefully you think that hopefully that awareness will increase.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.